Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. Out in the studio, middle of April, balmy night. Where's winter?
Where's winter? I don't know. I'm wearing a beanie every morning to work. I can tell you, the winter is here. I do have a half a shaved head, though, so I must admit that's probably a factor into the beanie. But no, it was pretty nice today. So I will admit that. I was at work. What did you get up to?
I mosey on up the freeway to Bendigo to suss out the Vic Open layout.
Ooh, and what were your thoughts?
Yeah, looking forward to the event. A few tweaks. Happy to take you through a few tweaks, and you might have some insider information because ran into Johnny and Marlon, and there was a bit of a discussion around what will be hole, I'm going to say like 14 or 15, like the long par four. And what? Yeah, I think it's 14. But let me just take you through a few of the tweaks. Hole one is, as we know it, plus 10 or 15 meters.
Hole one. So I know the normal layout and the tawny layout are
tawny layout.
So tawny hole, layout, yeah. Gotcha. Tawny so down layout, the valley, up the hill.
Down the valley, up the hill, plus 15 meters.
Sweet.
Still birdieable, but still near the fence. It's a sucker's hole. Like if you get a good drive off, you probably want to birdie it. But you'll probably bogey it if you try to birdie it.
Mm.
And if you play it for par, it'll be an easy par. Hole two used to like throw off down into the trees off to the right. The basket's not over there anymore. The basket's miles to the left, and Yeah, it's a completely different hole now. And that was my reaction to do. Plays like as a fun hyzer, but there's a sand scrape in play. So much in play that I hit it today and definitely took a bogey. So that's a fun hole. Hole three, that they made 100 meters longer. Yeah, they pushed this tee back back, the tee pad back,
wow,
up this cliff. And so now you're playing with like this epic amount of elevation that I didn't even really notice before until they put a tee pad up there. It's the same hole, but, you know, just, yeah, not plus 100 meters, but plus a good 40 or 50 and another 10, 15 meters of elevation. So it's now, I think, a 280 meter par four. But the big dogs will definitely birdie it. I'll be playing it. I'll be playing it for par.
So your drive, where does your drive land now in regards to that Mando tree, which I'm assuming is still in play?
Mando tree is still in play. I did, in my mind, a pretty good drive. I was short of the Mando tree by 60 yards.
Ooh, geez. Okay. Yep. Wow. All right.
And the basket is much further past the tree than what it was in the past. So I then took a destroyer second and kind of like hyzer skipped around the Mando. I was like, oh, that's all right. I wasn't even in circle two.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that's not the shot. I've got to pump it. I've got to pump it past that Mando before I even think about hyzering. I couldn't do a better drive than what I did today. And I didn't get into circle two after two, but my second was shit.
Okay.
I feel like two of my best throws, I could get to circle two, but the big dogs.
Wow.
The big dogs will be getting there easy.
Gotcha. Cool.
Hole four, five, six, they're all standard. No changes there. You then didn't deviate again. You come down the cliff and then you play, I don't know what the hole numbers are now, but then you play the other hole. That's just like a turnover shot. That's still the same.
The par four?
No, it's a par three turnover. You throw in like there's like a tree in front of you on the tee or like tree limbs in front of you on the tee. Okay. And it's just like you're just throwing off the cliff, you know, the highest point. Yeah. And then you just walk off to the left and you throw this little par three turnover.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you go play the highest of par four, which that was like one of my only birdies. And then there's a couple of tweaks after that as well. Baskets and tee pads, not quite where I remember them being. But if you got dialed in on those holes, they're 100-meter par threes with a little bit of downhill to play with. There's probably some birdies at play there. Then we couldn't find the long par four. And so we just followed U-Disc and played it But then we later discovered that the tee sign was actually like one of the OG holes, that crazy turnover shot.
Yeah, okay, with the sand scrape reel in play.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know what's going to be in play at Vic Open.
Well, that I think, like, that's what it said on UDIS, right? I feel like I remember looking at that and going, oh, that bad boy's back.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So but, I think that's it. Or not?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Because, like, that UDIS layout had, like, the long tee for three. So it's like, cool, this UDIS layout reflects, like, the new long hole.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, so, yeah, surely it should just reflect the actual course. But then the tee sign wasn't there. I was a bit confused. Definitely got lost there. I know that 17, they definitely plan on moving. So 17.
As far as I'm aware, that's the only – well, that's what Jackson said was the only change from the UDIS layout is that basket location.
Okay, yeah, cool. But, yeah, fun. I think it's definitely going to rate a little higher than the last event they had up there because they've just added a bit of length in pockets like I described.
Yeah, cool. Now, that sounds good. I'm excited. We were having a little bit of a chat about it just before, and even at last time was rating around 9.23. Before I told you that, you'd sent me a prediction for your estimate on even. What did you think that was?
I said somewhere between 9.35 and 9.45.
Well, that's that sounds like it tracks based on the stuff that you've said because it just sort of maybe takes a couple birdies out of play for some people.
Yeah.
So cool. All right, that's fine. I like that. That's a nice range for me. I like that as a chump. That's good for mine. The 960, 970 guys, they might be a bit disappointed, but for chumps like me, that sounds cool. So I'm real keen to check it out. Maybe this weekend.
Yes, yes, could be on the cards.
Another thing I'm super keen for is our new Droller shirts.
Look out.
So we've got the designs down pat, the colors and the arrangements. We've got ourselves a supplier, and we put down a purchase for two shirts, one for yourself and myself, just to make sure that they look good in real life as they do on computer screen. And so, yeah, I don't know when we're going to get them, but when they come in, I'll be very, very excited. And then once they do, we'll put it out for anyone else who wants one. And we're going to buy a few extras ourselves, I think, because they look sick. If they come out looking how I think, I'm going to be pretty excited.
Yeah.
Our mate Alex has done a very good job. Alex Brindle down in Tassie. He also mocked up that little logo that we've put up on Insta and changed the podcast image for. So that was a cool little thing he just did for funsies. And if you notice in the background, you might see that our logo has sort of morphed into a much more Jordan-esque version and then repeated on itself to make a pretty cool pattern. And I can tell you guys that features in our shirt as well. So pretty cool things to come. We're very, very excited. So we'll keep you posted and post lots of photos once we actually get them.
Yeah, bring it on. I love the symmetry in that little Jordan-esque tweak. I do love Picante Bean's little Instagram post. Did you see that?
Oh, I missed that. I didn't see. He sent me something, but I didn't see his actual post.
Yeah, he just put it up on Insta. It's like, is this MJ or is this AB?
I love it. Pretty much the same guy, those two. Equal kings of their field.
Yeah.
So new shorts are very exciting. New tournaments are also very exciting. So not so much new, but newly announced anyway. We've got Olinda coming back. And you and I both signed up to that very quickly.
Yes, we did.
So I'm quite excited about that. I think that's going to be mostly the same layout.
Okay, cool.
Matt Finnegan is taking the lead on that. I need to rename the group chat because the trash disc golf tourney committee thing or whatever, we're starting to do real stuff now. all of a sudden, Caelan's looking after Melbourne Celebrates and Matt's going to do the Olinda thing. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, well, I guess it's just like legit disc golf tourney committee now.
I think so, we're just TD big dogs.
Yeah, just like a sub branch of the club, I guess. So with no real governing body. So that's not, we'll get around that. But anyway, I digress. But 45 people filled up very, very quickly. And some healthy fields at the top. 8-person MPO field, so just shy of the current Vic Open. And 13 people in MA1 is thick. So I'm real excited to come ninth in that. That's going to be just real good. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we had, what else? The Hopkins Heiser just got announced.
Yes, it did.
With Ryan Nicholson taking over as TD, which is very exciting. And he's going to run it a little different. Like, he's going to tweak the layout a bit. I like the layout from last year, but I think it's going to be a new version. And he's taken the 2-day, 2-round-a-day format with mixed divisions and tweaking it a little bit, which I'm actually pretty excited about. Ryan doesn't mind messing around with a bit of stuff, and I think he's going to do something like, you know, MPO and MA1 will be on different days. So MA40, MA50 are on different days, MA4 and MA3 on different days, rather than sort of splitting more top and bottom.
Yeah.
And then this means that, you know, chumps like us, well, basically everyone can play 4 rounds if they want, 2 different divisions, both days. Like, I can roll into MA1 and then MPO the next day, or vice versa. And even little Deros could come down to MA1 and try his hand against us medium boys.
And I might just get out for one day, and I just might conveniently only be available on the MA1 day.
Yeah, exactly. That might just work out.
Stop coming last at MPO.
Exactly. So that's cool. I like that. I'm excited for that. And it was good. Yeah, Warrnambool, not that far away.
Mm. And how long the drive is it for Ryan Nicholson?
Nah, that's a good question. I did not look that up at all. But yeah. It can't be that bad. I think it's on that, like, it's in that direction. So yeah, it's probably halfway.
Possibly. Yeah.
It's probably just as bad as it is for me. So, but no, really cool to see that. And I'll definitely be signing up for that by a boy. And I'll almost certainly stay there the night, maybe before, yeah, but definitely night of, and I'll get 4 rounds in and come home with probably nothing, but that'd be fun. So yeah, new events are always good. I didn't have much on, so I'm glad I'm going to have a couple things on the calendar now. Ratings up.
Mount Gambier is half an hour closer to Warrnambool than what is Sunshine West.
Oh, so it's an hour closer then. It's for me. Shit. There you go. We had a ratings update.
Yes, we did.
I did not play. I did not play anything. So for the first time in, I cannot remember how long, I went nowhere, which is wild. How about you?
Oh, I played. I played Diwa. Mm. And I played Diwa pretty well for a dead last by a number of strokes. I had like at least one round above my rating, and the other one was a 9-2-4, and I thought I'd get away pretty unscathed, to be honest. Played like a 9:30 event. I'm like, that's, you know, I'm 9:40 rated golfer. 9:30 event's not going to kill me. It hurt, and it definitely hurt. The rounds that I obviously dropped were a lot better than that, and I fell down 5 to 9-3-7.
Ooh, that's not so good.
No.
I'm just having a look at my quick ratings history, and it looks like July of 2023 was the last time I did not play a PDGA tournament.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty fucked up, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, wow. There you go. Big.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so anyway, I stayed the same. You went down. How did the big boys fare?
It is now costing you 9-6-2 to make the leaderboard. So we have watched that number climb, climb, and climb. And now Darren Staysmith, who was comfortably in there at one stage a couple of months ago, is now not on that radar by a mere 1. He's 1 off that leaderboard. So we got our mate, the unit himself, Robbie Reeves, sitting there on 962, along with Chris Finn at the bottom of that board. But at the top of the board, we have, again, two 1,000-rated Australian disc golfers.
Wow. Who are we looking at?
We're looking, obviously, DP, who did not change on 1,007, and Blake Houston went up two from his 999 to 1,001.
Sick. That's cool. Yep. Glad to see that for Blakey boy.
Yeah. Yeah, sick.
I'm noticing a couple things on my side, and I'm noticing that Penn Lu's number is a little bit bigger than yours.
It is just a little bit bigger than mine. The guy went down five and he might have went up five or something like that. He definitely flip-flop and he has now got me covered. Now, he said in our chat, that's just highlighting how dumb ratings are. Picanzi and Penn have such an inflated idea of how good I am at disc golf. Just because, like, when they started playing, I could drive hole eight. They just think that I'm like God's gift to disc golf. Penn is so much better at disc golf than me.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy. Look how dumb ratings are. You're like, all right, mate. Yeah, well, just because I beat you every time I play doesn't mean like I'm better than you.
No.
Shit. I also see my number is still just slightly bigger than Kalen's. So
I did notice that.
Pretty excited. I'll hold on for one more month, and then then it's all long gone.
Yeah.
I haven't spied too much else that I've seen sort of stand out. Diros is always one I like looking into, and he's gone down a couple, which is not good for the young buck. But he's still got his mate Leo covered. So that's not too bad. And he's got Aiden covered. So has Aiden dropped a few then?
I think so. He's just had a couple of typical in a way, I think.
Oof. Yeah, that's a 5-point drop for Aiden. No good. Rough year for the little fella. So not so good. Timmy Bohan arising now. So I've mentioned that he's as good as an MA1 player can get. And an MA1 player can almost be 970 rated. So that's real good. And finally enough, I feel like the people that can't play MA1 anymore are people who've taken cash and are over 970 rated. I think that's go. It's either 970 or 975, but for the purpose of Tim being on 969, I think it's 970 rated.
It's so, a much better story there, yes.
I think he is exactly as good as an MA1 player is allowed to legally be.
Yeah.
So I do like that.
Mikey Hare, did you catch a glimpse of his?
I did not. What's that young man done?
All right, have a stab. I'll give you a little bit of a context. He was 937 rated.
937 rated. I know he's been playing better lately, but not better, like a big jump, I wouldn't have thought. He definitely hasn't dropped. I don't know, that would not be possible, but let's say he's gone up. You're excited about it. So I like eight. He's gone up eight.
Eight would be nice, wouldn't it? Eight would be nice. Add 11 to that, no, and you'll find way. That Mikey Hare has gone up 19 to 956.
Has he just like only played three tournaments? Like how is that working?
He had that sick event at Sizzler.
Yeah, but does he have no other events on his list?
So he's this year he's got Summer Cup Hot Start, Summer Cup Bicentennial, and the Sizzler. So the three events for the year.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Two in January, one in March. He did drop a few rounds in that same period last year. So he's gone from 21 included rounds down to 16. But really, it's because
16's still all right.
16's fine. Yeah. It's just because he went 947, 987. 953 at Sizzler. Like he just played 950 and above at Sizzler.
Big.
Yep.
All right, well, good to see. I like that. The kid's good. The kid's very good.
Yeah.
But he's just also really bad sometimes.
Yeah, but I think that might be
thing of the past. Yeah. No, very nice. Tommy Jankar with a very nice 9-point boost I'll be out with him on Saturday at Bald Hill. So I'll have to let him know well done. I guess that what happens when you win a major. What else? Oh, Gannon too. Dave Gannon, has he taken a big bump after his... Oh, yes, he has. 10 points up after his huge performance at Diwa. So big times there for Gannon.
There you go. Marlon is a much better disc golfer than 860.
Yeah, I honestly haven't played with
him. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he's hanging down there. Watch him at Vic Open. I look forward to him playing much better than 860. He's due for a boost. He was blistering it over the lake at hole 18 today.
Okay, very nice. Is that who you got out with?
Yeah, no. So I played with Picanti and Pat.
Oh, Pat, colleague Pat.
But we ran into Johnny and Marlon on the last hole.
Oh yeah, you did mention that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I think I mentioned Melton, so we'll check out the Melton social day that happened on the weekend. I did not get out there because it was Sunday and I was hungover.
Yes.
From my concert. Very good, by the way. So I was excited about that. How did it fare? What was it looking like on Sunday?
Oh, bloody Mark Hardy rocked up. That's how it fared. And just went bang. We started on hole 8 together and we just got away with the pars as can sometimes happen on hole 8. And then he just strung 5 in a row. Got 19, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Chilled out on 15, took the par, which is obviously a brutal hole that a lot of the field bogey. And then got another 3 in the row. And so found himself 8 down through 9. That might have been 8 down through 10. No. What was it? It was not 9
eight down.
Down
through 10.
No, it was 9 down through 10. He was 9 down through our first 10 holes.
We started on hole 8, you said, so I don't think so.
Oh, yes, true. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All good. I'm listening. I'm paying attention.
Good maths. And then he missed the island by about 40 meters on hole 1. and then did not get 2, which can happen, but then did not get 3, which shouldn't happen. You've got to get 3. And then he finished strong. But to just get a blistering minus 12, which absolutely gapped the field. I was there with him in the morning at 8 a.m. and took a 7 under and was pretty flat. It was cold in the morning. You said obviously wearing a beanie. Like, we were wearing beanies and hoodies and whatnot. And I hadn't putted in the cold in what felt like 5 years. And I forgot what that felt like. And it turns out it feels like nothing because you can't feel your fingers. And so I was like making the island on hole 10, for example, and then airballing my putt. Like,
oh, shit.
I could not putt. I could not feel my putters. So I thought 7-under was pretty shit, but it turned out to be good enough to get second because even the 10-30 crew couldn't do better than that, which surprised me a little bit when obviously Penn's name is in there and none other than Tim Ware, who's on a tear Ware again. Haas had a minus 5. Peter Chu up the pointing end again, which was good to see. And yeah, away we went. But we can't glance over Mr. Glenn Rolston himself. And I almost think that might have been his 18th hole. If it wasn't his 18th hole, it was like his 17th hole. Because I'd finished. I was finished and walking back to the car when he aced that.
That's sick. No, so, I think you're right. I feel like I did see a message in one of the chats saying that what a way to finish a round with an ace.
So cool. So cool. And he's keen on a mini. So add his name to the list.
Will do.
For a mini.
He is in the A spot as well. Well, he was in the A spot as well. So he took out all of the monies.
Nice work. Picanti shot a plus 3. That's pretty trash.
Pretty trash.
That's pretty trash. And I can't for the life of me. Oh, it was Alex Ritchie. Ritchie was on our card. Ritchie was good fun, but he had a rough hole. He had a triple bogey at one stage and shot a plus 1.
We don't like that.
No.
We don't like that. I forgot to get up the Ballarat ones, the Xavier scores, because it was the Wild West shootout. Have you got that in front of you or not?
I don't have those scores, but I do have Mr. Evans's scoreboard, leaderboards.
Well, I've got the Xavier ones up just then because it doesn't take long to type Xavier into a thing. So I'll have a quick look there. And we got Juan and Ash Wiedner tied for first place with the neg one, the only two people to go under the card. And Timmy Ware with an even after that. So your boy Marlon with a plus one, very hot round. And then Glenn with a plus two. That's good going around Xavier. For Glenn, so gets the ace and then pops around for a plus two is pretty tasty work. And our mate Penn, not so good with a plus three. Don't like seeing that, but I do like seeing a plus three from Dave Gannon, so nice shooting there. Yeah, a few people doing some good work with the handicap leaderboard with Ash and Marlon, and Dave and Glenn all right at the tippy top, as I would have thought. And Penn, I'm just going to say he's on the bottom because that's fun. He's not, but I'm just going to say it. Now, Jace Wiedner, pretty firm down at the bottom. A plus 20 getting around that track with Matty Farina not far behind at a plus 15. So some big discrepancies. Matty Faz and Ash Wiedner not normally too far apart. Even Jace on his day, but 20 strokes. That'll do it. That's rough. Getting that rolled by your brother by fucking 21 strokes. It's a fun car ride home. There you go. But you've got the combined scores, do you? The winners for the shootout.
I do. So let's look at raw scores first. Tim Ware on a tear with the minus seven total. Three stroke victory over Penn and another stroke ahead of Ash Wiedner. So Penn Lu only beat Ash Wiedner by one stroke there. Juan closely followed, also under the card for the day on minus two. They're the only ones under the card. Then you had Glenn and Marlon. So as I said, Marlon is a much better than an 860 disc golfer. Down towards the bottom, you've got Jace Wiedner plus 21 total for the day, and you have Matt Farina plus 20. Just one shot separating them. Not to be outdone, though, by Mr. Matt Redmond on plus 21, who went plus 3, plus 19. So, yeah, 28 shots separate worst and best. And, yeah, Tim, I should be pretty stoked with that. And in the handicap, Ash Wiedner got it done by a few points over Glenn Ralston.
I'm looking at a photo of the two winners, the handicap and the raw score winners. So we've got Ash and Tim there, and they both have cowboy hats and sheriff badges.
Yeah, they do.
I'm assuming that this is club provided, that this might be a Bendigo and, I mean, a Ballarat and Melbourne combination or something like that who have handed them out, which I think is very cool. I would not put it past those two to have brought them themselves. most people I would not think, but those two specifically, I could definitely see rolling up with their own sheriff badge and cowboy hats, but yes. I'm gonna go with this is part of the shtick from the club,
yeah,
or the clubs. So that's cool. I like that. That's a cool little prize and feature. I have not made it out to one Wild West shootout, but one day maybe I will.
Yeah, hard for me to make it to go to both. I've been to the Melton side of things.
There you go. another thing that I have not made it out for, but one day I hope to, is the Crater Lakes Classic, which was pretty exciting work on the weekend. In the MPO, we had it as a two-horse race.
We certainly did.
Yeah.
We certainly did.
And one of the horses got shot before the event, I think.
Yep, unfortunate for that horse.
For that horse. So.
Particularly when someone had a throwers on them.
Yeah, exactly. So it ended up being a three-horse race between Nath Parrish, Ethan Lewis, and Tim Bohan. Well, not even. Ryan Michelle was right there after round one as well, too. So it was pretty much anyone's but Ryan Hartz and Damos to win. Which was unexpected. But Nath Parrish was just good, just quite good. Shot a four down first round and a three down second round, which I think that's good shooting on that advanced layout. It's not the the eruption layout for people playing at home. It's the advanced layout, which is basically the eruption layout minus, you know, those back water holes and hole one, and then you know, not having whatever the fuck we normally do on like hole 16, having just not the the normal basic holes in it. So tough going and very good shooting. So huge efforts there by Nath. Got to be his best, if not only, MPO win.
Yeah, somewhere in between those two things for sure.
Yeah, definitely best.
Definitely best. Yeah, taking down some genuine scalps. Like, you know, obviously being a fellow MPO disc golfer, but like to obviously at least get some sleep each night knowing that I was probably not the trashiest. It's pretty fucking obvious that I am the trashiest MPO disc golfer in the country right now. So
when's your last MPO win?
Yeah, so that hurts. I'm looking to go, but thanks for the question. I am looking to go back to back at Olinda.
Oh, there you go. That's not even that far away. That was all right.
Did take that down, and I've had a cheeky win since then, but with like a 2-person event, so it doesn't really count. But just having a look, career wins, 7 for Mr. Parrish. Have a quick look at them, and look out! He won Llewellyn, and he also won Werribee. He's won a couple of like Summer Cup revival events.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Nah, fair enough. So this is this is the best for sure. So that's a nice win. Ethan Lewis in second and Tim Bohan in third. So we definitely didn't call that accurately at all. But Nate's just been playing really consistently lately. He's played that course plenty of times. It's very forehand friendly. So great to see. I was pretty happy for him. So I sent him a nice big message. He did mention, and we noticed it because of our tipping comp, that the MPO and MP40 were separated in terms of the rounds. So not the rounds, but the layouts. So Ryan has obviously made a layout called Advanced Layout Pros and then Advanced Layout Ams. And that meant that there were different ratings for the pros to the Ams. So we've talked about this before on the pod, and how that might be an interesting thing to do and probably potentially a good idea of a thing to do for large events with tee times where the wind fluctuates so much, and then having chumps play in the morning and then having the pros play in the arvo with more wind being a factor. I don't know if it's the best idea when there's only 9 people in the pro field and they do a shotgun start. So I will say that, but I do like that there's some creativity out there and that they're trying some stuff. But the pros definitely got a nice little boost compared to the others, which feeds into your argument that the higher the rating, like the pool of players, I guess, with more higher ratings will help you get a little bit of a boost, which I don't really like anything helping your argument, but we're here anyway.
But yeah, it's not that it boosted them. It's just that they could have absolutely been scorned by the way MA1 and MA2 played that day, because they did not gap those divisions, and so they got through unscathed because they can only take out what they put in, and those 9 players put in their pool, and obviously it rates out at 0, so they can only pull out what they put in, but they didn't have to share with the chumps, and if they had to share with the chumps, they were going to get hurt.
Well, lucky them, very lucky them. That's good. I think we might have had a bit of throwers guarantee in that. You mentioned something about having one of the horses, right?
Oh, I stuffed up here. I had you right there. I suckered you in, and I was like, "Cool, can I have 5 for Tim not winning?"
Yeah,
and you're like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "Yeah, but it's only a 2-horse race. Why do I give a fuck about anyone else? What a dickhead!"
Yeah, I gave it to you. You said, "Nah."
Yeah. So anyway, I got 0. How did you go?
We'll get to that. in the MP40, we called this as a bit of a pick-up. I said I'd give you 6 points for any one of them. And the one you wanted was Josh Smith. And I wish I had told you I'd give you 7 or 8 because he, well, I guess it worked out fine, but he came dead last. And I mean dead last. Absolutely smoked. One stroke separated. Alex Costales, who took out the win over Chris Hart. And then a lot back was Josh Smith. So, yeah, well done there, Costales.
Yeah, well done, Alex.
What's the MA1 looking like?
MA1, we obviously had, you know, Ben O'Byrne. We had Jack Way in there. We had Kalen in there. And we had Bruce Lee himself. Off the back of his back-to-back-to-back playoff losses. And Bruce Lee had none of that. He had enough of that. And he went and took it down by 2 shots over our mate Kalen.
Yeah, nah, very well done by him. That's neg three, I think. They might have been neg three after round one, and he just took an even on the second. So their scores were looking pretty close with the MPOs. They just couldn't match it in the second round. But yeah, Kalen was right there. Right there. He had his chances, but still, second place is nice. Finishing under the cards, always nice. Only two people in the strong 8-person field managed it. So well done to those two. And my throwers guarantee was in this, and I didn't like doing this, but I'd asked if what you'd give me for Andrew Young Jackaway to finish in the top half or the bottom half. And you had it as a pick 'em. You gave me a 5 down the guts. And I hated it, but I said bottom half because his rating's so high now, and I just don't. I feel like it all needs to balance out. And he took it a little too to heart. I think he did what he needed to do in round one and was just in the bottom half. And then in round two, he just took it too far and played really, really badly. So he came down last, and that's 5 points for me. Let's go.
There we go.
So that puts me up to 24. I'm only 5 behind yourself. Anita Weber came out and had a very good second round to have herself averaging above rating in FA1. And Lee Thompson, good for my tips. I think this was a good get for me in the tipping comp. Lee, I think his rating's down from having a few injured events.
Yeah.
So I saw that and I took the opportunity to jump on him, and he had a 3-stroke victory over Ryan Nicholson in MA40. So well done there, Lee Thompson.
Yeah, good work. Back, he's back, baby.
He's back, baby. What about the FA40?
FA40, couple of non-PDJ members yet, but great to see a couple of female players in the FA40. Jenny shooting a plus 50, got it done over Kylie. Well done, girls. Welcome to this addiction. MA50, did we tip this?
We did not.
Like, we did not tip this.
I do not remember tipping this.
Who is 208,000 Michael Quinn?
I would not have a clue.
He must be related to our mates, Joey Quinn and all these other Quinns that we can never get a head around.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Just nothing stellar, like an 870 and a 917. If Carey had shot his rating, he probably would have got the victory. But Carey got out of the gates with a 59, clear of the field.
Comfortable lead around one.
Seven shots clear, if I'm doing my maths correctly. Yeah. But then gave up 9 shots to Quinny. And, yeah. Lost by 2. Oofed.
Big. Very, very big. We got our man Eamon Dawson there in 6th place. Plus 24. He was 4 strokes ahead of arch rival Brett Bobridge. So pretty cool. Their ratings are remarkably similar now. So always a fun one to watch between those two.
MA2, the hyphen got it done. Banged the wrong hyphen. Got it done comfortably. 10-shot victory over Tommy Tulip. Got a couple of other Vics in there. You've obviously got the Ballarat crew in Matt Hunter, Duncan, and Govan, all making the trek. Obviously, we can't fly past this without mentioning there is Wayne Gubbin again at the bottom of MA2. I only bring it up every time now because it's going to be a celebration when he's not. And that's coming. We know that's coming. He's working on his game. He's getting better. Got it, you know, finished with an 8.16. It went 74-74, very consistent. 8.16 round two. So, yeah, watch this space. He will get off the bottom of MA2 this year.
All right, sounds good. Alex Young, Jack Away, the winner in that, and very good for my tipping as well. It sounds like I had a good tipping week.
It does sound like you did.
FA2, Kate Eldridge takes it out over Jessica Holtman. MA3, we got Brett Stevenson taking it out over Maddie Tulip. In FA3, Taylor Clark was on her own, but she came out with a less than stellar performance. Disappointing for the hometown girl there. In MA4, we've got Matthew Pona. Not sure about
Pona.
Getting it done over Chris Reamer. In FA4, we've got Taryn Stala getting it done. MJ15 was Lincoln Holman, and FJ15 was Miley Nicholson. Both of them playing pretty well. Miley only got the one round in, but yeah, all three rounds between the two of them were over rating. So very, very nice.
Very nice, very nice. Many divisions represented at a 66 person event.
Yeah, a few late dropouts. I was surprised. I thought for sure there'd end up being a little bit of a wait list. But yeah, so always fun. I'll definitely try to see if I can get out there next year, do the sneaky drive up in the morning and then, drive back the next day and then just be cooked for work all week.
Just be cooked. Yeah, absolutely cooked.
That's all good. There was a bit of pro action on the weekend as well. Almost nearly didn't happen with, typhoon like conditions coming down before the event, cancelling the match play, which we never really looked much into that. But yeah, they're doing some sort of weird match play event that I'm not much around, which I like match play, so I'm surprised I'm not much around it. Do you know much of it?
Yeah, get around it. It's going to run all year. It's basically a bracketed event. Yeah, they just like sporadically will have like head-to-heads throughout the year, and then it'll culminate in like the finals towards the end of the year. It's like the best of the best. It's like the best 24 in the NPO, and maybe like the best 12 in the FPO, something like that. I resubscribed to my Disc Golf Network subscription, partially because I also want to get around those match play events.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll have to definitely check it out next time. Hopefully it doesn't get washed away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, weird event. So they got one round in pretty clean, and then the second round got cancelled due to weather. So a portion of the NPO field had to come back on day three and finish their rounds up and then start new ones. So I think they just did a cut, right?
They did. They cut it at 44 players.
Yeah.
For the NPO, yep.
There you go, to make it more accommodating for that final day. And I for sure thought Paul McBeth was going to win this.
Yeah.
I saw he was him and was it Austin Turner and Antela and someone else maybe, were like a four-way tie at one stage. And
Gannon Burr.
Yeah, Gannon Burr, that was it. But he was just a couple holes ahead. So I was like, nah, Paul's just win. And then he didn't. He just didn't. I think he threw like a really bad out of bounds, right? And then just gave up.
Yeah, he cooled off before that out of bounds. He cooled off for like five pars in a row. Mm. My website's just gone down, but he got the first six. I actually watched a bit of this. It was unreal. He got the first six until he got the first seven, and Austin did not get off to such a hot start. So then it was those two toe to toe. But then Paul went five pars in a row. During those same five holes, I think Gannon Burr birdied four of them.
Mm.
And so that's how Gannon got back into it, until I got a couple of them, and that's why then they were tied up. And then after that par streak, he got a couple of other birdies, but then he just, shanked his sidearm, par three, just threw it straight OB, and then was donezo. And the Finnish cowboy just got to run away with it.
Big. Got it done. Yeah, it was. I had it going on my ears while I was at work. Couldn't really watch it, but I just sort of had it going and was listening. And it, yeah, kind of just seemed like they were all doing their thing. And then late, a couple people choked. And Antler was like, oh, I'll take a par then. And yeah, a couple sneaky birdies. And all of a sudden, he's a three-stroke winner. Because hole 18, they got a little loose. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, they were for, like, I guess, like, both Paul and Austin at that point were in the mindset an ace for a playoff. Mm. So, you know, it's, you know, and they, you know, at that point, you know, they're splitting hairs around, like, how much gas they're taking. And we already know that, and we've had this conversation, you know, Paul's like, win it or lose it, he doesn't really care. And we're wondering, and I know Brody Smith's wondering if he's going to keep that mentality now that, you know, he's not winning and he didn't win one at all last year. Does he start trying to play for a top five or a top or a podium or whatnot? But yeah, particularly Paul, just like stood up on that tee and was just like, all right, full send and threw it OB.
I was getting excited for him, mostly because of the Paul McBeth parallels between him and myself and our disc golf journey.
Yes, of course.
Most people, like, it's not obvious, but when I point it out, you'll realize. But I'm not sure if you know this, but both Paul and I didn't get any wins last year.
Okay, yep.
And I think that just puts us as two peas in a pod. So I was looking for him to have a big win so that I can, you know, I can get mine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So just keep an eye on it. If I end up having like a nice big win at the Vic Open or a Linda or something like that, then maybe see if you can chuck some money down on Paul McBeth, because my cousin there he'll probably follow behind me.
That's a good little segue. you did notice that you can now bet on this stuff.
I did. I've tried looking into it. I couldn't find the odds anywhere. It was really annoying. Like, American betting is annoying in general. But I was trying to get in. I've got a VPN, so I kept changing to different states to try to get things on different websites, and it just, yeah, nothing. I couldn't actually find a single spot where it was like, here's the odds. But I have, yeah, I heard that you can bet on most, just a few things. It was just mostly like winner and maybe top this or that. Like a top five or something like that. So small amount of things you bet on, but pretty cool. I like that. I don't mind a bit of a cheeky punt.
We are definitely familiar with a cheeky punt.
There used to be someone who ran like an Australian based, not really betting, but like a betting adjacent competition for some of the Australian events. And I was in a couple of them, and I think they were really fun. So I do miss that, and I would get around a bit of pro tour betting if we could get on it. But I can't even find the odds, let alone make myself eligible to be able to play it. So if anyone does find any of that stuff for the next event, then send it my way, because I would just be very intrigued to know what odds are for different things and then what you can completely bet on.
Correct. Yeah. Would love to see it.
Isaac Robertson just slowly, slowly, slowly making his way up and up these leaderboards. Fifth place there for him. Marweed, I feel like Marweed's having a year, right? Not so much open at Austin, but
he hasn't missed a putt.
But like fifth place here, he was fifth place at Waco. But I guess not so much the other ones. The Supreme Flight, it was 59th and 34th at open at Austin. So maybe it's every second disc golf pro tour event. So I might have to have a look at that.
Matty O jagging another top 10.
That
man does not go away.
No, it does not. So that's cool to see. Joey Buckets, I think this is the first sighting I've seen of him this high up on the leaderboard. So 13th place for him. The name that stands out to me, though, and probably should stand out to you, Chris Dickerson. He was both of our tips, right?
Yes, we tipped identically this week.
Because Chris Dickerson has never not finished in the top five of this event.
Mm-hmm.
And has like 600 straight top 10 finishes in the state of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a no-brainer. And he was looking fine with six holes to go, right? I looked at it, I was like, oh, he's 13th or something, but if he gets two more birdies, he's in fifth. Sweet. He'll do that. Keep his streak alive. And then I just looked and all of a sudden he's 20th. Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But he was fifth after round one. And then, was not as good after that. 61, 64, 63. When all that, when that round two got called off, it got discovered that if they could not complete round two and could not start round three, one round would suffice. And I would have jagged it. We would have jagged
it. That would have been good.
And that would have been good. So fifth is better than 20th.
Yeah, for sure. Very disappointing on that. Very, very disappointing. So I didn't even look at anyone else though. So it's not like I've got another guy that I was thinking about. But yeah, disappointing on that.
It's the first one. Obviously, you know, I set it up in a spreadsheet. It's the first one I put in. Music City, Music City Open.
Chris Dickerson.
Chris Dickerson. I'm not even joking. It's like, well, that's the way I'm tipping him then, not before.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The FPO was very spicy. So Silver Saarinen was looking like she was going to have a very nice win over, well, the whole field, but specifically Kristen. And some shenanigans afoot on hole 17, right? She takes a bogey and Kristen hits a big putt for birdie?
Yeah, circle two, but probably about 12 meters for birdie. Two-shot swing. And then, cashes the parks it and cashes the birdie on 18.
So three strokes in two holes to set up a playoff, and then how do you lose a playoff after you've just done that?
Yeah.
So Kristen too good, but this could have been the one where Silver put a little bit of dominance of her own down. But 9.75 is what she's up to now. I swear her rating last year was fair trash. It's just gone up. 9.79. Silver is charging.
She is. Kristen Lutt now 1,003, I believe.
Big.
Yeah. I just loaded on my screen. Yeah, 1,003. So that's awesome as well.
A lot of familiar names up the top, as always. Holland, Evelina, Missy Gannon, Ella. Yeah. The standards all right up there with a few sprinkled in. Jen Allen with a top 10, which is nice to see.
Nice, Jen.
Who was your tip?
Same as you. Who did we have? Was it Macy?
Macy Velladiez. So disappointing from her. She clawed her way back a little, but that first round just let us down. Absolutely let us down. She's been playing really well lately, so 15th place was not what I wanted out of that. So bad week. Real bad week.
Kat Allen has just had a cool three top 10s in a row.
Okay.
She's bounced back from this berth. I'm going to have to slide her into my spreadsheet. I've not slid her in yet. I'm going to have to slide her in soon. I might even have to save her for one of the big events if she's just going to keep on pulling out top 10s.
If she's back to being Kat Allen, then you want to save her for a big event for sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything on next weekend?
Nothing this weekend right now, no.
There you go.
So a week off and then off to the Champions Cup on the 1st of May with David Perry.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't had a check-in on that. That's cool. Dave's definitely going?
Yep, he was on the sign-up list when I looked the other day.
Sexy. So,
yeah, nothing. Where are we at? Oh, no, maybe don't quote me that that's the next event. I feel like there's another pro or two. That is the 1st of May. Champions Cup is the 1st of May. But I feel like there's an event between now and then.
Okay.
I just clicked on Kristen Tatar, who obviously is not playing every single event like she should be.
Gannonburr is playing the Kansas City Wide Open.
There you go.
In Friday, 18th of April.
There you go.
So, and then the Champions Cup. So, yep. All right, we'll have to keep an eye on that. But yeah, I think the Finnish people might be heading back because funny you clicked on Kristen, I clicked on Antola. And
I clicked on Linus Karlsson, and he was also going home.
They must be all heading home together. They're like, because I think it must be a couple weeks gap, a tourney, and then a couple weeks gap. So they're like, we can miss one tourney, go home for a month.
Yeah.
Not so bad. There you go. All right, should we do a bit of Throllers Guarantee?
Yes, we should.
I think there's no tourney on this weekend, but we've got a Bald Hill social day, right?
We do.
I am signed up and, should be getting out to that.
All right, good, because you may feature in my guarantee.
Yeah, okay, good. I like it. You got anything, or do you want me to...
I do. I would like you to give me a head-to-head, you versus Kaelin.
Oh, me versus Kaelin? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Kaelin beats me for one. How bad does he beat me? That's the real question. I don't think we're a 6-4 anymore. I think we've gone to a 7-3. It's I don't like saying it. And I wish there was a one in between, but we don't do halves here. So I think I think we go 7 me, 3 Kaelin.
Wowee. Okay. So now I would like a line. Okay. So give me the 5-5 line.
Five line.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what is it? My best there is like a 10. I don't know. Might not even hit a 10. I can't even remember now. Anyway, I'll probably get like a 6. And he'll get a 9.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'll say the 5-5, 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. Good, good. I will take Kaelin at the line.
Okay. I should have made it one more because I knew what you wanted and I forgot I need to... I forgot I need to adjust by one once I figure out what you want. No, that's fine. I play Bald Hill pretty well.
So you do.
We'll see how we go. Cool. All right, what else have we got there? Dihiro, succulent Chinese meal. Oh, man, he's... Taran shot a 12 down there, remember?
I do.
Shit. What am I looking at? God, a lot of people going in. Div B is thick.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very thick.
I was looking at Chu. I wanted to do something with Chu.
Oh, Chu's in. Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe I'll find a dude. I was going to do a Wiedner versus Wiedner. I was going to... I'll get you to mark that up while I have something for Chu. What's the 5-5 Ash versus Jace line?
Yeah, Bald Hill.
Yeah.
After he just lost to me by 21 shots.
Correct.
I'd have to give the 5-5 line would have to be Bald Hill. You're not going to get separated by 21 shots, but... God, on current form, it's at 6.5.
6.5. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Oh, it's just so weird. They could go so far in different ways.
Yeah. Jason could just beat him raw.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I'm trying to look at who in Div A I think Chu can beat.
You.
What's up?
You.
Me. Yeah, well, I'm already involved. I'm not getting involved twice. I'll somehow work it so that when I play shit, I lose everything. And I'm not about that. I'm not mentally strong enough for that. I'm mentally weak. What do we want to look at for a Chu versus, let's say, oh, there's a lot. All right, there's a few names up in there. Doug Adams.
Mmm.
The Bald Hill. He's not the bully, but the Bald Hill pest. Is pest work?
Yeah, sure. Doug Adams has to go in as the favorite. How clear favorite does he go in? Doug Adams, 900, Chu, 860, which is unders. I'm actually going to give you, I have to say this. I think Doug's a 3, Chu's a 7 there.
Oh, jeez. Well, I did not expect that big of a gap, so I'll have to take what I consider value at 7.
Yeah, you'd be silly not to.
Yeah, I'll take 2 then.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. That's going to be a good battle. So that's cool. Dug up Bald Hills. That's hard to beat.
It is.
All right, cool. So I got Chew over Doug for 7, and you've got Kalen beating me by 3 or more for 5.
Yep.
Cool. All right, let's finish from some spotlight not light.
You got anything?
I do have a nice spotlight courtesy of Alex Evans.
Okay.
He sent us both a little bit of material, but you've obviously just forgotten about it, which is fine by me. In New Zealand, they must do some sort of junior tour.
Yes.
Which is, it's wild. We have 6 juniors in the country. So strange, but they have some sort of junior tour. And they've got a kid over there who went back-to-back aces to start his round. So this looks like a very short course. Hole 1, 55 meters. Hole 2, 40 meters. But he still put him in 1. He still went bang-bang, ace-ace to start the day. Thank you very much. Neg 4 through 2. Finishes his day with neg 4. 13-hole layout. But yeah, bang, bang, ace, ace. You just don't see it.
You wouldn't read about it. That is so good.
Yeah. So that is my spotlight.
Well done. I've got a couple of honorable mentions, before I get to my actual spotlight. So my first honorable mention is going to go to stick golfers at Bendigo. Ran into a bunch of them today. So Wednesday is always like Clubman's Day or something at golf courses. So it's always a popular day on the golf track. And yeah, we saw many golfers, and the golfers were so excited to see us. And having grown up in an era where we had to hide from their wayward seconds and thirds as they essentially try to attack us with golf balls at it. What's the name of that town? Where was Victoria's only golf course? Whittlesea,
yeah.
Yeah, out at Whittlesea. Having grown up in an era where you're under attack at Whittlesea, and there's probably 0 listeners of ours that have ever played that course before, which is so crazy. But anyway, it was just nice. It was just nice to be around golfers who are excited to see us. And they're like, oh, you get warming up for the Anzac Day weekend, boys, rah, rah, rah. They knew what we were about. So that was pretty cool. My other honorable mention goes to me. I've been to the doctors, the dentist. I've had my bloods taken, and I've had my mole checkup in the first 2 days of school holidays. So very good work by me. But the actual reason I'm giving myself an honorable mention spotlight is when I got my bloods taken, the results came back and my cholesterol...
You're pregnant. Oh, sorry.
Cholesterol is back in the green. And it has not been in the green for a number of years. So well done to me for fixing up my lifestyle. But my actual spotlight has to go to Alex Brindle. Of course, it has to go to Alex Brindle. Awesome work. I love our little Spotlight 100 Throwlers logo, and looking forward to Spotify. Sorry, and I'm looking forward to our shirts. Spotlights. Yes.
Yep. No, that's excellent. I love that. Good by you. All of that. Well done on the cholesterol stuff for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very nice. One thing I forgot to mention, Alex, the other Alex, Alex Evans, did send us a couple things from the New Zealand Junior Tour. So we know that those guys like making elite young disc golfers because, what's his name?
Levi Stout
was 1,000 rated when he was born, it feels like. So they've got another 15-year-old kid who has had his first 1,000 rated round. That came out of that junior tour as well. So 1,006 rated neg 14, if you don't mind. So pretty cool stuff. And one to keep our eye on, Bailey out of Christchurch. So,
look out.
My not light, not disc golf related. And this is just going to come across as me being a cranky old man. And yes. I assure you that I've always had this opinion.
Good.
But I was at the gig on the weekend, and a mosh pit started forming pretty early in the piece, and then sporadically was on throughout the whole night. And I just do not understand the purpose of a mosh pit. I have no interest in being in one, and I do not get why people do them. I just think it's the dumbest shit ever. I like to stand and jump and dance and sing or whatever. I'm not keen to just get kicked in the face and pushed around. And like, I don't get it.
Why are you not keen on that?
I don't, mate. I don't get the appeal. I really don't get the appeal. Yeah. Anyway, that my knowledge is mosh pits. And come at me if you want. I like going to live events. I like music. I like being in general admission, jumping up and down. But I'm not there to bump people, get bumped, push around. Like, that's my not like.
Nah, fair enough. Nah, it's never made much sense to me. And they're a hectic environment. They are an absolute hectic environment. I have not found myself in a mosh pit and therefore do not have a not like this week.
There you go, nice. Good deal. Cool. All right, well that's us done for another week. So thanks for listening, everybody. Oh.
102.
So special. Now that just breaking a new barrier every week.
Here we are.
That's it. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace out.